Y'all remember this?
Check this out.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let me just get this off my chest, too.
Check this out.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
They're not tanking. You can't tank when you have Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford on the team. Because if you tank, you need to go all the way.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Do they trade Stafford? Crazier things have happened. I highly doubt that.
Today's guest, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, Seahawks quarterback Geno Smith, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live in Los Angeles, California. Thrilled to be here with you here on the Roku channel once again. We are free on the Roku channel, on all Roku devices, select Samsung smart TVs. We're also free on Amazon Fire TV, the Roku app, and the RokuChannel.com. We say hello to our terrestrial radio audience, Sirius XM, Odyssey, our podcast listeners. We adore you, especially since it's your God-given right to listen to this show whenever you darn well please. All 3 hours available through the Cumulus Podcast Network. Hit us with a subscribe there, as well as our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. There's also a nice way to watch us when we're not live through the Roku channel, the Rich Eisen Show Collection. It is a video on demand service. Chris Brockman, good to see you over there, brother.
Rich, what's up, man?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Rich. Back again. TJ Jefferson, the candle's already lit. How are you, sir?
I mean, we're ready to go.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Speaking of ready to go, there's one person apparently not yet ready to go.
Can we guess?
I mean, there's many people on the planet.
8 billion.
But there's one in particular I wish to express, apparently, as of right now, on the air, on the Tuesday before the new league year, believes he's not yet ready to go. That individual is named Aaron Rodgers. Listen. Listen. If I had my say, and thankfully, thanks to our friends at the Roku channel and our partners, and Westwood One and everyone else, I do have my say.
You do.
And now's the time to say it.
You got that mic, baby.
Aaron, it's time to go. It's time to go. And there are indications, however, that he does indeed have plans to, in fact, go. Why would I say that? Well, as soon as I went on the air on NFL Network yesterday at 4 Eastern time on the Monday before the new league year begins and the tampering window, don't call it that, opened up, Garrett Wilson says, now I can enjoy my vacay. And as I said on NFL Network, well, for us Jets fans who are not in the know, that vacay feels like it's a White Lotus vacation. Okay. All sorts of crazy, freaky things are happening. Okay? Yep. Type of White Lotus vacation where you see F. Murray Abraham by the pool.
Tripping, falling over himself.
Okay? It's time to go, Aaron.
Finger foods are
other indications that it's time to go. And then he is, in fact, deciding to go. My colleague, Mike Garofalo, this very morning, says that the Jets and Rodgers have been in communication with each other in the last 24 hours. Oh, good to know. Hey. And what are they talking about? What could be the holdup? The number of texts that I've gotten from my friends in New York City, in the New York metropolitan area, that are saying, what's the holdup? What's going on?
The hell going on?
Is he being a diva? Is he a diva quarterback? Well, is that what's going on?
We know that already.
You know what? He's doing what he needs to do to get ready to go. What is that? Oh, it's bringing his friends along with him. According to multiple reports, Alan Lazard, free agent. Jets are interested in him and the guy who Rodgers strolled down the tunnel, leaving Lambeau Field for what appears to be the last time as a Green Bay Packer after the Detroit Lions eliminated them from playoff contention in the final regular season game of the 2022 season in calendar year 2023. The guy who he strolled off together with Randall Cobb. Jets interested in him all of a sudden. Isn't that interesting? Because when I went to the combine, I didn't think, you know what, the Jets need more receivers. They need more veteran leadership at the receiver position. Nuh-uh. So clearly, Rodgers has put down a marker in these conversations to Joe Douglas. These are the people I would like.
Yeah, I also read, Rich, that Greg Jennings has been working out and Jordy Nelson.
Let me tell you something.
James Jones.
At this point in time,
Bubba Franks.
I do not care if the New York Jets name Joe Rogan as their new quality control coach.
Pat's coming back to punt.
Bring them all.
A.J. Hawk.
Bring them all. And I don't care, oh, God, that, you know, Rodgers is making the Jets contort themselves. And, oh, God, the Jets are really prostrating themselves for Rodgers. And, oh, God, Rodgers is going to be running the show. Yeah. Yeah.
John Kuhn's coming.
Do you have, Hoskins, put up the Jets' offensive stats for the last 10 years that I still have here at my desk.
Eddie Lacy is playing running back.
This is why the Jets are going to let Rodgers run the show. And they're going to get in the boat with Rodgers or the plane with Rodgers. There are five lasts on the screen. Last 10 seasons, the Jets' offense last in points per game, last in total yards per game, last in yards per play, last in red zone touchdown percentage, last in passer rating. I don't care if they have the assistant trainer put ayahuasca in the Gatorade. Let's go. It's time, Aaron. It's time.
Donald Driver.
Go.
James Stark.
I have had enough.
I can keep doing this.
I've had enough.
I understand.
It's time.
Ty Montgomery.
Because if he doesn't come now, if he does not come now, I do believe the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, Mike Del Tufo, yes, had something to say on where the Jets are headed if Rodgers does not come now.
Toilets!
That's right. Toilets. I mean, there's no kimono to lift anymore. It's off.
Jared Boykin.
Look, dude, stop Googling. Okay, stop Googling. Stop Googling, because I'll tell you what, smartass.
What?
I'll tell you what, because when Rodgers finally does arrive.
Like I said.
Rodgers finally does arrive, and I know the baggage. I know all the stuff that he might bring with him.
Andrew Corliss.
Here's what he's going to bring. Rodgers versus Mac Jones twice a year. You know what's not going to happen?
What?
The garbage that the Jets
put on
the field.
You really think so?
Oh, yeah.
You really think so?
Oh, yeah. The Jets.
You don't think the Jets stink is suddenly going to wash over Aaron Rodgers? This is Brett Favre 2.0, bro.
Oh, no.
And guess what? Didn't work out well for you then. Not going to work out well for you now.
The reason why it didn't work out well for us is because Favre showed up already banged up. He already showed up, no longer the Iron Man. Rodgers is in much better shape than Brett Favre. And on top of it, all the Belichick voodoo that caused one guy to see ghosts and another guy to run into the ass of his offensive lineman and another guy throw 15 interceptions towards a McCourty and he somehow dropped only 13 of them. Won't happen.
Seen ghosts.
This is why it's time for Rodgers to arrive. There is no turning back. Bring in Lazard and Cobb. I hope Elijah Moore sticks around. He deserves it. He put in the time. I hope that this guy shows up fully engaged because he's coming. Jet fans, there's no trapdoor, because what's Rodgers going to do? Retire? Packers clearly don't want him back. They are ready to go. They are ready to roll. They are, Mike, I don't know how you felt the day your divorce papers finally came in, but that's the way the Packers are going to feel the minute this trade goes through.
Right.
Okay? Ready to roll.
That's how I felt.
Fact. I don't know how you felt.
That's amazing. It was unbelievable.
Okay.
Well, it was you.
The minute the ink dried on that thing,
I was out the door.
You super glued the Emmy she threw at you in a fit of pique back together, and you rolled.
I was out.
That's the way the Packers are going to feel. Everybody knows it. We know it. Take your time, Aaron. I get it. But let's go is the headline here. What else? Anything? Has he made a decision yet?
Okay. Rich, you know, last week you warned against people having Rodgers and Brady fatigue and basically told them to go kick rocks.
Yeah, you're not allowed to watch.
It seems to me like you're suffering from some fatigue now.
The fatigue I'm suffering from, if you really want to know.
I would like to.
Thank you. The fatigue I'm suffering from right now, TJ, isn't Rodgers fatigue. It's having my ass handed to me 50 out of 53 years watching football fatigue. And I believe Woody Johnson's had enough too. And it is, you know, a dangerous game that they're playing by turning to a guy who is at the end of his career and saying to him, we are handing all of our hopes and prayers and wishes and all of the best laid plans that our general manager, Joe Douglas, has well manicured to this point. We are taking this and handing it to you. And yes, fully admitting, without saying, that the team that did this before with the previous first ballot Hall of Fame, once-in-a-lifetime quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, all due respect to the Bart Starr fans out there, but yes, the franchise that did that with Favre and was patently disappointed by the one-year experience on and off the field is in the same position again. We didn't advance very far. 2 years in the AFC Championship game, drafting Mark Sanchez, handing the man genie Jets off to Rex Ryan. Nice times. Other than that, we're in the diaspora. Back again, hoping that the promised land can be led by a generationally, once-in-a-lifetime, again, Green Bay Packer quarterback who is now having a divorce with the Packers and is running to the Jets. That's my fatigue. And I sure hope Rodgers is the right guy to end it. And the one thing I am hanging my hat on is, Chris, how did Tom Brady do in New England, ages 39 and 40? How did he do?
Won a Super Bowl.
Uh-huh. It can be done. Rodgers is not walking around like Ben Roethlisberger. He's not looking like, well, to respect, Drew Brees looked as he was pushing 40. That's my fatigue, sir. And I would love it to end. And I'd love for the Jets to stop doing this, because one thing I don't really want to do when I'm, knock on wood, 68 years old, is the Jets turn to Jordan Love as he's divorcing the Packers and hope he can do what Rodgers and Favre could not. That's my fatigue, sir. Thank you for asking. I feel better. Let's go is the headline.
Let's go.
Let's go.
I did 3 hours yesterday and 3 hours on NFL Network. And when I woke up, I thought to myself, absolutely, Favre. I mean, the Rodgers news is going to break. Didn't happen. This morning, I'm hanging my hat on the fact that they're actually communicating. Thank you, Mike Garofalo. But the bottom line is, if they're interested in Lazard and they're interested in Cobb, there's a reason, because those weren't the needs the Jets had going into the non-playing season. They're the needs that they currently crave, because the quarterback they definitely need now, because Carr is a Saint and Jimmy G's a Raider, is clearly demanding it. And it sounds to me like, if anybody's ever sold a house, bought a house, you ever been fortunate enough to do that? You ever been in a situation where you're ready to close, ready to go to escrow, and the person who's buying your house or the person that's allowing you to buy their house is like, you know what? We're going to hold up this entire deal for the planters in the backyard. We want the planters in the backyard. Well, you know, we want to take the planters with us. Well, then we're not buying your house. And you look at your spouse and you go, is this really happening? Not to call Randall Cobb a planter, but to me, it looks like Rodgers is holding everything up until he gets everything he wants. And I already hear it. You're setting the table for Rodgers running the show. Mr. Hoskins, put up the other Jets full screen we've had in the hopper for a week now.
Man, so aggressive. Just like, do you need a breath? You need a minute?
No. Okay. I have fatigue.
Sorry.
This is why. On the screen, Sam Darnold, currently now, God bless him, on his third NFL team.
He's going to win a playoff game next year.
For the 49ers. Our second, our guest, now a $100 million quarterback for his third NFL team in Geno Smith. All the way down to the current, soon-to-be backup quarterback, Zach Wilson. The current, I believe, offensive mastermind of the future Houston Texans and Josh McCown. Mike White, your new Miami Dolphin, who Jets fans are so scarred by this experience, they're freaking out. We let Mike White go. And then, of course, a man who I believe is fourth on our color-coded system of pettiness, Bryce Petty, just slightly above Lori Petty on our petty scale. I'm telling you, let's go. How's that for a show open today?
Set the tone.
Let's go, Aaron. Well, all the tea in New York City and all the tea in Brooklyn and Staten Island, we got tea. Okay? New Jersey, whatever you want, brother. Because now it's time. All my nervousness or worries about how it would play in New York, that's out the door. It's got to happen now. Albert Breer is going to join us in a few minutes' time. By the way, this Lamar going to be hitting the free agent market tomorrow, restricted. And there's lots to talk about on whatever else is going on. Albert Breer, breaking, Albert Breer and I will be communicating.
Breer.
We have communicated in the last 24 hours and you agree to appear on this program. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel, this terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wall.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network is back with the live Roku channel stream. The Rich Eisen Show desk, that's what I'm sitting at, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Breaking news, I have communicated with Albert Breer in the last 24 hours. And he communicated back to me. It was via text, if you really want to know.
I do.
I'll give my source away. It was me reaching out to him saying, how'd you like to come on the show? And he said, thank you.
Did you say?
No, I said, thank you after he said, okay.
And then you wrote L-Y?
No. What's the matter with you? Although I do love Albert Breer. What's up, Albert? How are you, sir?
Hey, yeah, I don't know if I didn't sign off on you revealing the contents of our conversation there.
Yeah, it was, how'd you like to come on? I gave you time. You're like, how about earlier? I said, all right, here's earlier. And you said, okay, that's it. I gave the ghost away. So
I'll tell you what, like Clay Matthews is out there in Southern California, right? You gotta tell him to stay loose, maybe. Too,
whatever,
right?
Whatever, whoever he wants. I said if Joe Rogan's the new quality control coach, I'd take that to make this happen by now. What is as we are sitting here, 20 minutes after noon, new league year begins in what would you say 24? I can't believe I'm doing math.
I think it's
right
like
now.
20. Is it the math? 28 hours.
28 hours.
I don't know. You know where I went to school. I'm not great.
I'm more verbal. Go for it. What's going on? What's happening? What's the latest?
Yeah. You know, I think this is sort of up to Aaron. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that that's sort of where this is. And you know, I think everybody's expectation is that. this is going to happen. And this to me, like, you know, the Alan Lazard thing, the Randall Cobb thing, in all seriousness, is the Jets getting their ducks in a row, you know? And I think as much as anything else, it's a realization that, like, this is what the lag and the final decision, the final parts of the negotiation, that this is what it's doing to that, you know? Like, where, you know, if he had been on board on Saturday, say, the Jets could hit the ground running and work on this stuff Monday and Tuesday, and everything's done. Now, you know, it just sort of feels like they've got to line everything up and get everything in place. And maybe this is intentional on Rodgers' part, that he'd want to see them actually do this and put all the pieces in place. But, you know, my understanding is for a little while now, this has sort of been up to Aaron, you know, and I think the trade terms are workable. I don't know they're going to have to give up the 13th overall pick to do it. You know, and I think the contract terms are workable too. If you look at it, you know, really, Rich, it's about cash. You know, like, that's what this is about, because the way the Packers structured the contract was really smart. You know, made them tradable. You know, like, where, you know, the cap number for a team acquiring him for next year is just $15 million. Now, you're going to have to pay the Piper down the line. The question is whether or not you're willing to pay $60 million in cash to get him. So, you know, I think in large part this is really up to Aaron and what he wants to do. And, you know, it certainly feels like the Jets are doing everything that they possibly can to get him on board.
And the new league, I mean, the new league year is the deadline, or there really isn't one?
I don't know if there is a deadline, although it certainly seems like, you know, you see the actions here of the Jets, like, that it's being treated like a soft deadline, you know. Look, I think Aaron himself said at one point, right, like, that and I can't remember if that was this year or last year, to be honest with you, but he at one point referenced the start of free agency as you know, wanting to have a decision by then.
Right.
So whatever team he's on can plan going forward. So it feels like that's a natural point. And I think we've been over this too, Rich. Like, you know, the Packers are operating in a much different manner than they have in the last couple of years, where the last couple of years it's been, take your time, Aaron, whatever you need, Aaron, we're leaving the door open for you, Aaron, we want you to be at peace with whatever your decision is. You know, in this case, it certainly feels like the Packers have already started the process of moving on and would like a decision sooner than later.
Well, and then, yeah, I mean, there's no other, the options are retire, go to the Jets. I mean, is returning the Packers really an option at this point in time?
I mean, I guess after all this, no. But then I'm old enough, and you are too, to remember Brett Favre sauntering into training camp in 2008 like he was going to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, but they did tell him that was still over. They told him it was still over at that point.
Yeah. And so that one got really awkward at the end. So I mean, yeah, like, who knows? You know, but you know, and again, like, I think he's just sort of, he's unpredictable. You know what I mean? Like, and I think we've seen that. Like the guy, you know, maybe for better or worse, marches to the beat of his own drummer. You know, but I do think that, like, the momentum here is towards him becoming a New York Jet. And if not that, then either he retires or things get awfully awkward.
Sports Illustrated's Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Why not Aaron Rodgers in Vegas? Why Jimmy G? And then assuming they're going to draft a seventh overall pick quarterback, or Jimmy G's arrival means no. I mean, walk me through the Raiders' decision-making process.
So I know I've used this analogy with you a lot, Rich, and I'm going to wear it out again, but, like, it's the Alex Smith and Kansas City analogy, right? Like, where the Chiefs brought in Alex Smith in 2013, not thinking he's going to be the quarterback for the next 10 years, but it gave them somebody that they thought they could win with, right? And somebody who would allow them to keep their options open at the position, and somebody that would allow them to build a contender, you know? And they were able to do that. And because of that, like, they didn't have to force it in 2014 or 2015 or 2016. And then eventually they found a guy they really loved, and Patrick Mahomes went all in on him. And by the time Patrick Mahomes got there, there was a fully formed team waiting for him, which, you know, created a great situation for Mahomes to develop in. That was the idea the Raiders had with Derek Carr last year, and doing the extension with him didn't work out. And I think that's sort of the idea this time around with Jimmy Garoppolo, is that you're creating your flexibility for yourself at quarterback, and that, yeah, Jimmy's going to be your quarterback probably for the next few years. But he doesn't preclude you from going into the top 10 and getting one if you think there's a really special one there. And in the meantime, you don't have to overextend to get one that you might like but not love. And so that allows you to use the capital that you have to build up the team around the quarterback. And so I think it's as much as anything about bringing in a guy who's a known commodity, you know, and they projected some with Derek Carr and that didn't work out. A guy who, you know, knows what the culture is, knows what the setup's going to be, and is going to be able to hit the ground running. And, you know, a guy who, again, allows you over the next few years to sort of survey the draft classes that are coming into the league and wait for someone that you think is really special that you can go up and get aggressive to go get.
So Jimmy G finally gets an exit visa from San Francisco after all this time, and it's to Vegas. And then on that day, the Niners agree to terms with Sam Darnold, who obviously wasn't going to get a gig in Carolina, starting gig there with them moving all the way up to the first overall selection in the draft. What do you make of the Darnold acquisition by San Francisco?
You know, I actually had them kind of like pegged for maybe Baker Mayfield. You know, so like this is the same idea, I think. It's bringing in a guy who's got talent. He's got physical ability. Who, you know, maybe it becomes something, maybe it doesn't. At the very least, it's going to push Trey Lance and give them another option while Brock Purdy gets healthy. And if you look at the timeline with Brock Purdy, it's going to be tight. You know, like him being able to start the opener, now this is typically like a 6-month recovery. Maybe he gets back faster, maybe not. But either way, you know, you're working on a really, really tight timeline with a guy that you presumed was going to be taking the first rep in OTAs and the first rep at training camp, right? Whether or not he held on to the job, if Trey Lance turns the corner, you know, we'd see on that. But, you know, it's sort of, I think, saying, okay, like, we're going to see what happens with Trey Lance, but we're going to make sure that we cover our butts on the back end. We get another guy who's got some talent in here to compete. And this is going to basically get us through until Brock Purdy is back. And whether Darnold emerges or Lance emerges over the next 6 months, you know, we've given ourselves a better chance to have a viable option before Brock Purdy gets back. And again, maybe one of those guys really breaks through and you have somebody that really makes you think, should we start him or Purdy? You know, but at any rate, like at a relatively cheap rate, you're giving yourself the chance to have multiple shots at getting the quarterback position right. And you're doing it at a price point that allows you to go out and get a Javon Hargrave on the free agent market, too.
That's it. I mean, what a day for the 49ers there. And Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. I had a top five list, you know, going into after the Super Bowl about the top five storylines of the offseason. And my bonus one that I had was, I can't wait to see how the Sean Payton Broncos start to form.
Yeah.
And the 49ers lost Mike McGlinchey. They're off from one of their offensive linemen. They're a terrific offensive lineman at Denver. Ben Powers also winds up in Denver yesterday. We're hearing about receivers potentially being on the market. They're out of the first and second rounds because of the Russell Wilson deal. What is your read or reporting on what Sean Payton and the Broncos are up to right now?
Here's what's really fascinating about what Denver's doing. I think it mirrors what Sean Payton built in New Orleans for the most of the time there, right? Now, at the end, they did pay Michael Thomas. They did pay Alvin Kamara. But if you look before that, right, for his first, I would say, 13 years or so in New Orleans, what you'll find is a heavy, deep investment in offensive linemen, whether it was guys like Jari Evans, you know, early on, or Teron Armstead, you know, and Zach Streif, like throughout, like, you know, you look at like the names of the guys that they were investing in over the years, and almost always, Rich, it was offensive linemen, right, on that side of the ball. Even when they paid a guy like Jimmy Graham, right, like they paid Jimmy Graham, who's a great player for them. He only lasted in New Orleans on that contract for 1 year, and then they traded him away. So, you know, to me, like this is an acknowledgement that they're going to be building the same way that they did in New Orleans. And if you look at New Orleans, what you'll find is the foundation of those teams is on the offensive line, and Sean Payton bet on himself and bet on his scheme that he was going to be able to identify young skill players and make it work with maybe a little less money sunk into the skill spots. And I think that kind of counters, like, I think that kind of counters perception too, right? Like you would think a Sean Payton team would be investing deeply in skill positions, but the truth of the matter is, if you look at the way they spent draft capital, the way they spent their money over the years in New Orleans, there was much greater investment in the offensive line, and I think that's what we saw in Denver in day one of free agency under Sean Payton.
Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated here on the Rich Eisen Show. A few more minutes left with him on the Tuesday before the new league year begins and free agency writ large begins in the National Football League. Let's get to Lamar, because at 4 Eastern time on Wednesday, that's when anybody can reach out to Lamar. If they have two first-round selections to offer the Ravens, should the Ravens not match whatever contract they come up with Lamar Jackson, we have put together a list of teams that are quarterback needy, supposedly. It's now down to 7, and you know we have the Atlanta Falcons up there. I think we could remove them from this equation now, because they signed Taylor Heinicke this morning, and the way that they, you know, signed Jesse Bates, a safety, yesterday, it's obvious that they're going to build around Desmond Ridder right now and go that way and give big money to other defensive players. The Washington Commanders might be off that board. Sherry Burris, who's new to NFL Network, reporting that she spoke to Ron Rivera on Monday, and Ron said absolutely they're not in the Lamar Jackson game. The Jets are about to be going Aaron Rodgers. What is Lamar's market as he hits this franchise tag free agency, Albert?
You have a really hard time finding. I mean, you know, you just said it, you know, Rich. You have a really hard time going down that list and finding a team that you say, yeah, like absolutely, they're going to put in. They're going to push their chips to the middle of the table and see what happens. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, like, I think Atlanta's probably the best example, right? Like, because I think what you're implicitly seeing from teams here is we want to wait for someone. And this is, I think, a few of the teams, and the Raiders are sort of in this boat. You know, like I said, the Falcons, I think the Panthers were there, then they moved up. It's like, we're going to wait to find somebody that we really, really love. And until then, we're not going to spend huge money on a quarterback. I do think, like, what Daniel Jones and Derek Carr got scared teams a little bit, you know? And so I think if you look at it, right, like, it's like, how many boxes do you have to check to be all in on Lamar Jackson? You have to be comfortable with his injury history. You have to be comfortable with a big contract. You have to be comfortable with flipping your offense upside down and running a different type of offense with him. You have to be comfortable with a lot of different things to get there, you know, and then, you know, you look at the big contracts last year, right? I think there were 5 like real big contracts, like, for quarterbacks last year. So you had Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. You had Russell Wilson in Denver. I'm probably going to miss one here. You had Derek Carr in Vegas.
Kyler in Arizona.
Kyler Murray in Arizona and Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. That's 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's happy after a year?
I guess, you know, who's happy in terms of what? The player, I mean, or the organization?
Like, who's happy with the return right now? Like, I mean, I think that's a real thing, you know? Like, the price has escalated to a point with quarterbacks where I think that there are some teams now that are pulling back and are saying, you know what, until we're really sure, until we find somebody that checks every single box for us, we're going to stay loose, you know? And we think that going, and Tampa, for example, Tampa's another one of these teams. We'll go get Baker Mayfield to compete with Kyle Trask, and you know what? We'll try to tread water and build up the roster everywhere else and spend our money everywhere else. We don't need to go spend $35 million a year on Derek Carr. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that's the environment that's working against Lamar Jackson right now, is that teams, I think, are a little less willing to take swings on quarterbacks, expensive swings on quarterbacks, you know, because the price point has gotten to that point. And so I think, to some degree, it's all the boxes you have to check to be all in on Lamar in the first place. But I think there's also, you know, like, this economic environment around the quarterbacks that's working against Lamar too. But I would say this, it can't hurt to place that phone call. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a team that isn't completely sold on his quarterback, why not at least make the phone call?
The question is who's going to make that phone call? And some of the other boxes that need to get checked that you didn't mention, confuse, I think, a lot of fans because of how terrifically talented Lamar Jackson is.
Yep.
And the two of them, I spoke to Scott Pioli about this on NFL Network yesterday, is, well, we don't want to do the work for the Ravens by hammering out a deal that they couldn't negotiate for Lamar and do all the paperwork only to be left, you know, empty-handed. And I said, well, what are you worried about? The billable hours for your legal staff? That makes no sense. Like, it's worth
I guess the concern would be pissing off your quarterback, like if you have one.
Well, unless Indianapolis, you don't have one. If you're Indianapolis, you do not have one. There's no quarterback to piss off. You know?
You don't. But are you planning to draft one? You get the fourth overall pick. Are you planning to draft one? And then you look at it and say, well, we're going to come out of this with a quarterback at like $8 or $9 million a year. Do we really need to go spend $50 million on one? You know, I think that's sort of part of the equation there. Like, I'll give you a good example. Let's have some fun with this, okay? And I don't want anybody sticking report colon on front of this or whatever, right? But let's say New England wasn't completely happy with Mac Jones last year, right? Bill Belichick liked Lamar Jackson coming out. Now the question for them was whether or not we turn our operation upside down and build a new offense for him. You could say Bill would be building the Navy offense for him, right? Like, yes. If you really want to have fun with that.
Sure.
So like the issue that you have is, like, if you go and sign Lamar to an offer sheet and the Ravens match, where does that leave you with Mac Jones? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, like, I think some teams that have quarterbacks that might even be intrigued by it could look at it and say, if we do that, is that going to create a bigger problem for us in the back end if the Ravens match?
I get it. And it's also might be a process that drags on into late March, and you got to make your moves, certainly with free agency, and build your team. And if you're going to be building your team around a guy who is expensive as Lamar Jackson, when you have somebody on your first contract, a rookie contract, clearly that changes the entire dynamic of how you build your team. So I get that. The other box that people don't understand that needs to be checked is the fact that Lamar doesn't have an agent. And I just want to kind of dig into that real quick, because when we hear he doesn't have an agent, you have to deal with his mom, it makes it sound like it's that wedding crasher scene where Lamar's in the basement screaming for meatloaf. Yeah. You know what I mean? So how does it actually work? Like, is there nobody with a legal background or anybody who has sort of an agenting skill that's unofficially his agent? Like, is he really, you got to call his number or his mother's number to make a deal?
I mean,
is that it?
I can remember that, like, it's interesting because that circle is very, very small, right? So I'm assuming like he would hire a lawyer to look over the thing. But I can remember this. I'll give you like an anecdote. Like, so I remember in 2018 when he was coming out, I remember hearing like, "Hey, Belum, you remember him for the Jets, right?" Like, he advises a lot of players that have come out of South Florida, and I remember hearing, "Oh, well, you know, A. Belum's gonna work with him." And so I was like, okay, like, so I went to the combine, and actually, you know, I wound up getting to Lamar by himself, and I was like, I wanted to ask him, like, "Hey, is A.B. Elam advising you?" And he said, "No." He's like, I think he knew Abe, but he was like, "No." And I think that's sort of, I mean, it's sort of like, to me, like looking back at that now 5 years later, it sort of crystallized like how tight the circle around him is. And, you know, like, that's just the way Lamar, I think it's just, I mean, Lamar's so loyal to the people that he grew up around and everything else. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's part of it. Now, I'd assume, like, look, like, you cannot sign a contract without hiring a lawyer to look at it, right? Like, so I think that that's part of this. The NFLPA is also helping him, and that's part of it, too. You know, they have some people who are sort of the administrators that oversee the agents and everything else, and you know, he has some help on that end also. But yes, it's without question, like, a very untraditional thing. And, you know, I think that's part of it too, is like, you know, if you're another team, you're going directly to Lamar with this, which creates a really, really interesting dynamic.
All right. In the 2 minutes I have left here, Albert, your thoughts on who did the Panthers trade up to go get? Cause, you know, with you saying, well, the Colts are going to draft a quarterback fourth overall, they might not be happy with the fourth on that scale, because somebody could trade up with Arizona to beat Indianapolis to the punch. So how do you see that playing out?
Well, I think Arizona's in the catbird's seat now. You know, I can tell you this, like, the Bears were convinced that the Texans are taking a quarterback second overall. They actually had some talks with the Texans, but the Texans moving up to one. Mm-hmm. The Texans, I don't think, were quite ready to jump. and the Panthers coming up, like, didn't call the Texans because they didn't want to. Oh, they were so convinced that the Texans are taking a quarterback at two that they didn't want to alert the Texans to how serious they were about moving up. Huh. You know, so if you're locking it in now and you're saying the quarterback's going one, the quarterback's going two, you know, now the Cardinals are in a huge position of strength where they can say anybody else who wants one's got to come up and talk to us, and you can make the Colts feel really uncomfortable too, like where it's like you're going to have two off the board by the time the draft gets to you, and if you don't deal with us, it could be three. So, you know, I think the Cardinals are in a position of strength now and being able to move that pick, and maybe they only have to move down one spot. And yeah, I think for the Colts, like, this creates an interesting scenario where, I mean, look, history tells us, right, Rich? Like, there may be four that go in the top 10. They're not going to be, all four of them aren't going to make it, right? Like, it's just what the numbers tell us, what the history tells us. Maybe two make it, right? So let's say, like, you're the Colts and, you know, you say, okay, like, these two are going to make it, and those two are gone when you're picking. What do you do? I mean, to me, like, that's like the scenario where Christian Ponder goes 12th overall, you know? Because the Vikings that year really liked Jake Locker, which wouldn't have worked out either. But, like, they wound up, like, sort of turning a guy who was probably a second-round pick for them into the 12th overall pick. And now that guy winds up getting Leslie Frazier. That pick winds up getting Leslie Frazier fired. That's the sort of tricky situation I think the Colts are in right now, which is tough for them because, you know, so much of this year, I think, and the way that the last half of the year was handled was based on being in position to settle the quarterback spot once and for all 4 years after Andrew Luck stunned all of us with his retirement.
So you think, is it, again, I got about 30 seconds, Stroud, Young, Richardson? I mean, what do you think?
So my understanding is the Panthers are very, very comfortable with two of them and think two of them are worth going first overall. They are going to do everything with all four of them, and they're going to see if a third or a fourth kind of jumps into that group with the two, in which case maybe they would consider moving back down a spot or two.
Wow.
So that's sort of where they're at. You know, my suspicion would be that it's Young and Stroud. I don't know that. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, ownership's going to be involved in this, and I would expect that we're going to see, you know, the traveling band. We've seen that in the past, right? Like where, you know, Scott Fitter, the GM, and Dan Morgan, the assistant GM, and Frank Reich, and maybe the owner too, David Tepper, may go along too, are in Gainesville and Columbus and Tuscaloosa and Lexington over the next, you know, 5 or 6 weeks, taking a really, really close look at each of these kids. To see, you know, how they're going to set up their strategy for April.
You're the man, Albert. I always appreciate the time. You make me smarter. Love our chats. Take care of yourself, brother. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Rich. I appreciate it.
Follow Albert Breer on Twitter. I do. He's must follow. Let's take a break. Lots to chew on right there. And Lamar Jackson has tweeted three of them. And your phone calls. And Geno Smith still to come. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio stream, radio feed, along with our Roku channel stream, phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Lamar Jackson has tweeted about his contract situation or in response to what Adam Schefter's reporting on it. We'll do that at the top of the hour. Albert gave us a lot of food for thought right there, man, on so many subjects. Let's go to the phone lines, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Jason in Louisville, Kentucky, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jason?
Oh, my gosh, Rich, I just want to thank you, because when you go down the James Dolan wormhole of New York professional sports,
yes, sir,
and the University of Michigan, there's nothing better on sports talk than that. The
thank
level
you.
Of energy that you bring when you do that is unparalleled.
Well, it's
and then
from
I'm
the heart.
Also upset that Brockman hasn't asked you if Rodgers has called Sterling Sharp.
Nah, he's giving you material there, Chris.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, brother.
It predates Rodgers, but I appreciate what you say, Jason. Hey, man, it's from the gut. You know what I mean? It's from the gut. It's from the heart. It's genuine. Maybe that's why we connect on that front. Thanks for the call, Jason. Appreciate it. Even my mild-mannered lawyer to the stars, my brother, Jeffrey Kanner Eisen.
What did he say?
He heard the opening.
Okay.
This is the reason why I'm a Jet fan. Because again, if I followed my dad's lead, we would be talking about Judy Garland every day. I don't think we'd be on the air, I'll be very honest with you.
We'd be on another station, maybe.
He texted, nice rant. Tell the smug Patriots fan across from you that he should be very concerned about Aaron Rodgers being on the Jets. Mac Jones and his 50 consecutive screen passes are not beating those Jets 10-3.
First off, your brother knows my name. Like, show some respect. Seth.
Huh?
Jeff, whatever your name is.
Seth is my middle name.
I don't need to know your name.
But,
Tom Crabtree, is he coming?
Yeah, the quick game that sucks ain't beating the Jets 10-3 this time around.
Great, because we have a new offense.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that. It's been fixed. With your top wide receiver going on the McDaniels route.
He wasn't coming back anyway.
Okay. Great retort. Has he made a decision yet? Are we closing the first hour of this program with this still an open issue for real? We're going to go through these next 2 hours without it happening, right?
Amon Green is signing.
Okay.
Hey, he didn't make a decision, but a Cowboys player has.
Hey!
Jane Slater, Noah Brown is going to leave us and go sign with the Texans.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
So we haven't added anybody, but we're losing people.
I could pretend to not know your brother's name for the rest of the week.
By the way, Cobb and Lazard are off the market, apparently.
Looks like.
Still here on Roku.
So we can't get...
Tell the Patriots, smug Patriots fan across the way.
I've earned the right to be smug.
Yeah, I know that.
Man, that makes me sick.
What? That he's smug?
That he's earned that. I mean, he won seven championships in like 6 years.
They got all those banners.
Oh, yes. Brady has
They got
seven.
All those banners there.
We count, Tom.
They got all those banners.
I know.
They got all of them.
We threw a parade for Ray Bourque when he went with the Avalanche.
That's a good one, man.
Take Tom.
Once they're yours, they're always yours.
Right, they're always
theirs. Man. Jeez.
But I told you, Brockman, I told you a few years ago, once your luck ends, it's going to stink for a while, and you're in that
hey,
the Celtics odor lost state. To the excuse Rockets
me,
last
excuse
night.
Me, what did I say to him the day Brady left for the Buccaneers?
That he
welcome to the rest of us.
Well, the rest of them. We'll never be you guys.
Welcome to the rest
five,
of us.
So we're good.
Welcome to the rest of us.
We'll
they drafted Mac Jones. Dude. There is no more clear indication of you being like the rest of us than the chance for Bailey Zappi.
Mac Jones
in
was hurt.
New England.
He was hurt.
Bailey Zappi, a year after everyone was buying their Mac Jones jerseys because they're so great.
No, hold on.
No, let's
hold
go
on.
Crazy
hold
for
on.
Mac. Year later,
hold
I want
on.
Bailey Zappi. Welcome to the rest of us. That didn't happen.
Patricia was the worst coach ever.
Welcome to the rest of us.
Be Zappy.